We studied 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 to 24 last week. God is love, and he loves us lavishly. He made us his children. He gave us a new birth when we believe in his son, Jesus. And that is who we are, children of God. We are not strangers peeking through the door, but we are children sitting at the table with God. Our Heavenly Father teaches us to his compassion. He gives us pain in the guts to love other people, to fear that people would go into destruction eternally. That God's feeling is what God gives us. Normally, we don't have it. We don't have it. Unless it is your own children that you would have that God's feeling. But God give us that God's feeling for other people who are not related to us. Humanity here and there. That's what God's giving to us. And that is the feeling that God wants to capture you with, because that is his love for humanity. And when you have that love, then you have that God's feeling, that pain for other people. Don't want them to go to destruction. But we also learn that God gives us the eye of faith. Now, we see Jesus opened the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and he cast out demons and he raised the dead. We see Jesus' own death on the cross for our sins, and his burial, his resurrections, and his ascension for our hope. Through all of Jesus' life and work, we come to have hope in God the Father. And we hope that whatever God has done through Jesus to bring people to see God's love and to see God's heart, God is working with you and with me, through you and through me, to demonstrate the love of God to people as well. The vote that we had last week, it was a unanimous vote to really move this church forward to a greater facility where we can continue to expand our ministry and reaching out people to salvation. That is a demonstration of your love for people who you don't know. And that is what captures you and captures me. And that is only possible because the Father has given us his Spirit. And his Spirit is working with us and through us and give us the strength and the power to love people that we don't know. Love other kids that don't belong to you. Love other youth that don't belong to you. That is the kind of love that we find in Jesus Christ and in the church, because God loves us. Today we are going into 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. If you have your Bible, please turn there with me. I'm going to read from the NIV. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The word many false prophets here in the Greek said many false prophetic spirits have gone out into the world. This is how we can recognize the spirits of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. They are of the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listened to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray. Father, you love us so much that you send your Spirit to guide us every day. And we thank you for that. And your Spirit always point us to you and point us to the Lord Jesus so that we will not go astray. And Lord, here you are warning us that there are spirits who come to us similar to your Spirit speaking to us. And they have a couple things they want to do with us. They want to tell us that they know something about the future and that they can tell about the future and so that we will fall prey. They will tell us that Jesus is not the Christ. He's not our Savior. They also tell us that even if Jesus is the Lord, we don't have to give all. We can just do what we can so that they can lead us astray. Lord, help us to understand these spirits who are around us and are looking for opportunity to devour us. Teach us today. Speak through me and use me. We are here to listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In every culture, there are stories about spirits. And the other day I was reading about atheists, and even atheists believe in the spirit. This is remarkable. They don't believe there's God, but they believe in the spirit. I want to tell you a story about this understanding of the spirits in the Hmong culture. 2 weeks ago, I went to Michigan, as you know, to participate in the funeral of a man that I have the privilege to bring to Christ. And he was a shaman, and he worshiped the spirits at the altar. A lot of you know shaman in your culture, in your family, in your relationship. Except maybe Pam. Yeah. Okay. The spirits came to him long time ago, back in Laos when he was still young. When I first talked to him, he said there were different kind of spirits, and they seemed to get along. If one group came, the other just leave. One group was the shamanistic spirits that he worshipped. Yet there was another group which told him about things in the future. And he was interested in listening to those spirits, but he don't know who they are. He only referred to them as they. They're different from his the shamanistic spirits that he worshipped. That gave me an opening to tell him about demons and angels. I said, demons are fallen angels, and they are cast from heaven to earth. They have a leader, Satan. To us, they would be spirits. This group of spirits usually appears in the shadow, in black coverings, and like to cause fear. They cause human problems until they receive worship from us. When they appear, or when we appease them, that is when we worship them. And they would stop bothering us for a while, and then we'll come back again. The other group wears white covering when they appear. They are, if we are frightened by their appearance, they would say, don't be afraid. They would be our friends. They present themselves as friends, and they don't ask anything from us. They don't ask for worship from us. But they would tell us about Jesus. They would tell us about God. And so after I talked to him about that, I just leave it at that. And later on, I went back and talked to him. And when I met with him the second time, he said, yeah, I know the second group now, the group that I used to call they. These are the angels, because Jesus was with them, and they did talk about Jesus. And so I know who they are. So I have been worshiping these spirits, but now I want to worship Christ. I want to believe in Jesus Christ. And so that's how he came to Christ. It's remarkable to hear the story about spirits in the world. John here talked to us and tell us that there are the demons appear to us with three labels. Maybe you are familiar with demon possessions as demons that doing evil things to human and capture them and destroy their lives. But John's telling us that these demons love to appear to us, and especially to Christians, through these three labels. First, they appear to us as prophetic spirits. They want to tell us about the future. Demons claim to have knowledge of the future, especially good events. They know that man is God's special creatures with the image of God and the power to rule, that God gave man the tree of life, which lead to eternal life, and the tree of knowledge, which lead to death. Satan, the leader of demons, came to Adam and Eve in the beginning and prevent Adam and Eve to go into eternal life. And the way he prevent Adam and Eve to receive eternal life was through deception of saying, I know something that you don't know. I know something about the future. This is what he said to Eve, you will not die. See, that is something about the future. He's saying, no, I know about the future. You know about today, but I know about the future. You will not die. But he also, you will become like God. See, that is appealing, right? God does not allow human to know about the future. That's the limitation that God put on us. And so these spirits who know a little bit about the future, yeah, about the plan of God for the salvation of mankind. And these spirits would tell, I know about the future. I know about your future. The second label that they show themselves to us is that of the Antichrist. They know that Jesus came to the flesh, died on the cross, was buried, and was raised on the third day. Simply, they know that Jesus is the Savior. Satan knows that very well from Genesis chapter 3. And so they want to prevent you from believing in Jesus. They want to entice you away from Jesus. You will never hear the demons entice people from worshiping Buddha or anything else, because there's no salvation there. Okay, the third is the label wandering spirit. And so these are in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 6. The one in verse 1 is about the prophetic spirits. In verse 3 is about the Antichrist spirits. And on verse 6 here is talking about the spirit of falsehood. In the Greek, is essentially the spirits of wandering, essentially the spirit that will lead you go astray. All right, let's talk about these. The greatest danger, of course, remains that when they take possessions of you and destroy you. We need to be very careful, because there are Christians who had fallen prey to the spirit and have been possessed by the spirits. I met a woman in South Carolina who had the spirit of wandering. She told me about how she got the spirit. She said she heard about people in the church pray a lot to God to have the Holy Spirit with them so that they have power. So she really desired power because she felt that what we have in the church of people have faith in God but don't have power. So she really cried for days to have power. And so this Spirit came. The Spirit came and said, I came from God to give you power. And so she accepted the Spirit. The spirits will take possessions of her, will hurt her, and you don't want to know how bad. But when the Spirit is taking over her, it also blocks her mind so that she doesn't remember what she did. Her family took videos of her when the Spirit possessed her and broke her down and how terrible that is. But she have no memory of it. So they show her the video. And she would say, that is not me. That is not me. Because the Spirit tell me that that is not me. And so I believe the Spirit that that is not me. So we asked her, would she be willing to cast out the spirits? Because the Spirit has a name. We talked to the Spirit through her. And in Jesus' name, the Spirit will answer you through her. And the Spirit would say, I'm not leaving. Why? Because she wants me here. I'm here to help her. That is the demon possession in the church. And if you desire powers, you desire things that God don't want you to have, that is the extreme case. So, it is very important for every one of us in the church to test the spirits. Because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we already have victory over those spirits, and we can test whether they are true. So how do we test those spirits? John said, the way we test them and the way we know them, there are just two ways. One is to see if they lead you to Jesus. And if they lead you to Jesus, acknowledge that Jesus came. Jesus died for you on the cross. Salvation is given to you and that Jesus is the Savior. That spirit come from God. But a spirit that reject that is not come from God. But he then explained in verse 4-6 that this spirit will guide you back into the world. We'll talk about worldly things. Want you to have possessions of worldly things to claim you as a human being. So bringing, imagine, you are already the sons and the daughters of God. But the Spirit will say, no, you are a human. Think about you being human and what you need as a human. That is the spirit of that lead you away, the Antichrist, the prophetic, false prophetic spirit, and so on. Now, how did this spirit come to you, and under what circumstances or occasions or setting would they come to you and trying to lead you away? There are three areas that I want to bring to your attention. One area is when you fall into sin. Christians fall into sin. I have fallen into sin. It is easy for us to fall into sin because we are by nature sinful. Sinning is so natural for us, just like you're hungry and you just want to eat and you want to drink. That's as simple as that. Falling into sin is so easy. When you have fallen into sin, the moment you do it, you may not recognize or you may not realize that it is sin. But immediately after you've done it, you will know it is sin because the Holy Spirit will tell you that you have committed a sin. The Holy Spirit will guide you to go to God to ask for forgiveness because the Holy Spirit said that is where salvation is. You have to be truthful that you have sinned. Sinned against God, sinned against man, you need to go and confess. But immediately there's a thought coming to you that if I do that, then my life will be open up to people, people will know how bad I am. And so there is a temptation to cover that up, because cover that up seems to be the good way to do, because you don't expose yourself. You see, those two thoughts that are coming into you, one is leading you to confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive salvation, to receive forgiveness. The other is just leading you to say, cover it up, cover it up. And if you, it even come to this point, if people know about this, I better be dead. I better be dead because it is so bad, so worse, I won't have the ability to face my friends, my families, the people around. And so the Spirit said, there's no hope for you. Might as well die if I expose this. Have you experienced that? That is a feature of the prophetic spirit telling you that if you expose yourself, I know about the future. I know your wife going to do this, your children going to do this, your friend going to do this, and you will be ruined. You will go down. Might as well be dead, because there's no hope for you. The second situation that we encounter, the wandering spirit would be when we experience pain and suffering and destructions, evil in another word, coming into your life or affecting you. When you find yourself in situation like that, doesn't matter if it is by a natural cause or if someone do that to you or something else that happened. But in situation like that, there's usually two things that come to mind. One is that you just fall into God's hand. You just said, God, you are the creator of all. This is a sinful world, and these terrible things happen to us because this whole world is cursed. And so I don't know what is happening here, but Romans 8:28 said, everything is for the good of those who love you. So I'm just falling into your grace, falling into your love. And I don't know what it means, but you know what it means. If it has any benefits for me, any benefits for anyone else, you just take it and sanctify it and make it holy for your name's sake. Okay, that is one possibility. The other possibility that will come into your mind, come into your thought, you will experience it. And that would be like this. God is love, God is good, but what is happening to me is not love, is not good. It is terrible. And God must allow it. Because he is powerful, he can eliminate it, but since he doesn't eliminate it, he allow it. So your childhood upbringing catching up with you again and said, Mommy and Daddy, you don't love me. That's why you do this. You don't give me the good clothes that I really like. You don't buy me the best shoes that I really like because you don't love me. That childhood coming back to you again, and you say the same thing to God. God, it's your fault. You didn't love me. You don't love me. That's why I'm in terrible shape right now. And my situation, my life is ruined. Everything is going down the drain because you don't care. So you put your finger to God and say, you are the one at fault. In situation like that, you are actually allowing yourself to be led away. You see, it is very powerful. It's very powerful. Another explanation is that there's no God. Because if God exists, he is good, he is loving, he is powerful, and so there should be no evil. And the evil that happened to me, this evil is so happened to all of mankind. And so there must not be God. See, that is where the atheists come in. It is very easy to fall into that trap. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. because there's no God. There's no salvation. There's no Christ. There's no Savior. What is happening to you is just there because there's no God. If there is God, things like that won't happen. Now, there are also good situation that the spirit, the wandering spirit will come and entice you away. A lot of us, when we are coming to this country, we are praying for us to get a good job. And some of you coming out of school and praying for a good job, maybe you don't have a job now, but hoping to get a good job, you pray, God, take me there so that I have a good life, I have a good job, and I will be a good Christian. I will trust you. Okay, God lead you there, and you have your job, and you got a fat paycheck. God said, give a tenth. And you put the tenth aside, and you look at it. Pretty big, pretty substantial. Well, maybe I don't have to give 10%. You just take away from the 10%, take away from the 10% until you feel very comfortable with what you give to church. And then you give what you're comfortable to church. What are you doing there? What is happening there? What's happening there is that there's a thought that you made it. It is your skills. This is your education. It is you. You went to the interview. You did all that. You do the work. It is yours. It doesn't belong to God. But you also need it. You need to pay your mortgage. You need to pay your car. You need to buy this and that. It's just a lot of expenses that I just have to cover. Because I'm a human, and these expenses I cannot escape, so I just have to cover them. Did you know what is happening there? See, the Spirit is telling you, the thought coming into your mind is that I'm still a human. I'm still a human, and my human needs are so much, and I have to cover them. I have to cover them. You see what is taking place here? Verse 3 and 4, what John is talking here is that the voice is coming to you to listen to it, and the voice is calling from the world, the worldly things, for you to fulfill what is worldly as human being. See, you never thought of that coming from the devil. I never thought of that coming from the devil. Unless the Spirit of God revealed the truth to me through the scripture, I was thinking, that is just my human nature is really needed. But remember, you are already born of God. You are already in God. So why do you still have this thought of being human and said you need to satisfy your human longing? It is because the tempter is coming through the back door, not the front door that you usually expect. So let me summarize. Both the Spirit of God and the spirit of wandering always begin with the truth in your situation in life, whether a good or bad situation. Take sin, for example. It is sin. You have done it. The egg has already done it. That is a fact. You can testify to it. It is the fact. You can get away from it. So from that point, the Holy Spirit will say, go and confess. It's very natural because that is salvation. The Holy Spirit leading you to salvation. The other spirits that giving you the thinking is that cover it up, because if anyone found out, you'd be dead. Take the situations of sickness and disease. It is a real situation. Maybe you have it. It may be gout like you have and I have. Or whatever, maybe it's cancer, whatever the situation that's coming to you is death in the family or whatever, or it may be a lawsuit, a car accident. Whatever the situation, it is a fact, it happened. The Holy Spirit will come to you and said, fall into God. You don't know what it is, but God's going to make it a blessing to you. God is going to turn this curse into a blessing for you. Trust in God. Go there. The other explanation is that if God is loving, if God's good, I pray for God to protect me. He didn't protect me. So his fault. He allowed it. The third situation is also a fact. You already have the money. You already have the good life. You already have that in your house. That's part of money that's sitting there in your house. It is there. It is a true, okay, the truth is there. How are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with that? And the Holy Spirit would say, your life is in God's hand. Everything belongs to God. God said, you can enjoy 90% of it. Just give 10% for God's work. And you resist that. I resist that. That is just natural for us to resist. And we thought that is normal for human to resist. But essentially, the wandering spirit that come through the back door and said, you're still human, you need it. And so we bring all the thought of being human back to you and put it in you and pressure you and press down on you and that you are human. You're not the Son of God. See, that moment, you no longer think like you are a child of God. You are a child of this world. And that's why you can't let go of what you have in this world for God. Let us come to the table. It was a very high price that God had purchased you to be a son and daughter of God. It's not cheap. This is a gift from God. Remember, the Bible said the gift from God you never seen before, you never heard before, it's never crossed your mind. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is like that. You never thought that God will come into the flesh. You would never thought, you never believe, and it's very hard to believe even though now we have it in Scripture that Jesus died for your sin and mine. It's very hard to believe that through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you are born again as sons and daughters of God. As if all the sins that you have done in your life mean nothing to God anymore. That gift of salvation, it is so unbelievable. That's why the scripture said, the gift of God you have never heard. You have never seen, never crossed your mind. But the scripture told us this. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what Jesus has done to redeem you and me, so that we can let go of the worldly things and just say, God, here I am, use me. Let's pray.